Welcome to the Sound of Economics podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. I'm Sean Gibson, and joining me for this episode is Bruegel Senior Fellow André Sapir. Today, we look at Britain's future relationship with the European Union, post-Brexit, specifically on the point of trade. André, there's ongoing debate around the UK's future position with respect to the European single market and the customs union. Can we clarify, firstly, the key differences as it stands now between membership of the customs union and membership of the single market?
So, at the moment, the UK, by virtue of being a member of the European Union, is a member of both the European single market and the European customs union. And it's important to understand that the customs union and the single market are two different animals. Being a member of the customs union means that basically there are no customs duties, there are no tariffs in trade between the UK and the rest of the EU. Being a member of the single market means that in addition, there are also no regulatory differences between the UK and the EU. And it means that products can freely travel between the UK and the EU, not only in terms of not paying any customs duty, but also not having any paperwork to show that indeed they're in conformity with each other's regulation. Now, the EU has arrangements with many third countries. And one arrangement that has been discussed is the famous Norway arrangement. Now, bear in mind that Norway and the EU have an arrangement where we are all together in the same single market. Norway belongs to the European single market. It's not a member of the EU, but it belongs to the European single market. However, it does not belong to the EU customs union. So there is a border, there are customs duties between Norway and the EU, but there's no sort of paperwork as far as the regulation is concerned. The EU has also an arrangement with only one country, Turkey, which is a customs union arrangement. Between the EU and Turkey, we do have a customs union. That is, basically, Turkey applies the same external tariff, the same arrangement that we have with third country is applied by Turkey. But between us and Turkey, there's no customs duties. But Turkey does not belong to the single market. So goods travel freely between Europe and Turkey as far as tariffs are concerned, but not as far as paperwork is concerned. We still need to show each other that products are in conformity, that they meet all regulation if they come from Turkey and vice versa.
So the idea has been posited by the UK's leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn of the Labour Party. He said he wants the country to remain part of the customs union. So with Turkey being the only country currently in this position with regards to the EU, what can we see that relationship would bring to the UK?
All right. So I think the first thing I should say is that I think from the viewpoint of the EU would be in principle open to have a customs union with the UK, but presumably on a customs union like the one we have with Turkey. And that customs union with Turkey implies that Turkey has essentially surrendered its autonomy as far as trade policy is concerned. Turkish foreign trade policy is the EU's foreign trade policy. Now, there is plus and minus to that. The plus, first of all, is that if the UK was going in this kind of arrangement, it would remain a party to all of the free trade arrangements that the EU has and to which the UK is currently a party. For instance, the free trade arrangement with Canada, the future free trade arrangement with Japan. the free trade arrangement with Korea, the free trade arrangement with South Africa, the free trade arrangement with Chile, the free trade arrangement with Mexico. All of those arrangements, the UK would keep them. Okay? That's a great advantage. The disadvantage for the UK to go into the customs union arrangement is that it would not be able to negotiate on its own an arrangement with, let's say, the US or with China. It would basically have to wait for the EU to enter into a free trade arrangement with the US or with China before it would be able to do so. So it would lose its autonomy, but there would be a plus to losing the autonomy is keeping all the arrangement that there are at the moment. But bear in mind the fact that once the UK would be in the customs union, if it was not also in the single market, a border would remain between the UK and the EU. That border would not imply paying customs duties. So at the border, goods coming at the border would not have to pay the tariff, because there would be no tariff between us since we have the same external tariff. But not being a member of the single market would mean that the UK would have, at least to some extent, different regulation than we have. And one would need to ensure that the paperwork that accompanies the goods show that indeed the UK good entering into the EU market or the UK goods entering into the UK market are meeting each other's different or somewhat different regulatory regimes.
So given that the UK government's current position appears to still favour coming out of both the customs union and the single market, with talk of maintaining some degree of alignment, there doesn't appear currently to be a precedent for this within and with relation to the EU. So is the EU likely to engage with the UK on a new option, or is it more likely that the UK has to select from pre-existing options as they stand?
Okay, now we are getting into obviously more speculative grounds, because we are talking about the future, and you know, nobody knows what the future will be, and this is very much a political discussion. I think what we can say safely is that for the start of the negotiation on the future arrangement between the EU and the UK, the EU is expecting the UK to pick one of the models of trade arrangements that it has with partner. Whether it's the Canada kind of arrangement, free trade area, not a customs union and not member of the single market, whether it is the arrangement with Norway, membership of the single market but not membership of the customs union, whether it is the arrangement that the EU has with Turkey, customs union but not single market. So all of those, I think, are possible as far as the EU is concerned. It would say to the UK, look, we have those arrangements, just pick which one you want to negotiate upon. At the same time, I would have thought that there is a negotiation. And the negotiation cannot be that the end point of the negotiation is the starting point of the negotiation. So I would have thought that if, let us say, the UK said that, okay, of the various arrangements that the EU has, the one that we are choosing for the start of the negotiation and which the EU would agree upon, obviously, is, let's say, Canada. Well, then I think indeed the EU and the UK would negotiate for a free trade agreement. So neither membership of the customs union nor membership of the single market. But does it mean that at the end of the negotiation, the agreement would be identical to the agreement that the EU has with Canada at the moment? I would say not necessarily. There may be indeed, as people have discussed, some pluses. Whether they would be 1+, 2+, 3+, hard to say. And that, I think, will be an issue of political context. But it will also be a question of what the two parties are willing to put in the balance, in addition to what there is now between the EU and Canada. Canada is a faraway country. The UK is a very near neighbor. So there will be other kind of issues that will come in the discussion, like, for instance, labor mobility, like, for instance, contribution to the EU budget. There's no labor mobility arrangement between the EU and Canada. There is no contribution of Canada to the EU budget. There's no discussion about the European Court of Justice having any kind of arrangement with the UK. Well, would the UK be willing to entertain the idea of some element of Court of Justice jurisprudence, of some contribution to the EU budget, of some mobility of labor in exchange for some pluses in the EU-Canada? Well, history will tell us.
Well, thank you very much, André. That's very enlightening. I think that brings us to the end of this episode of the podcast. We've been very glad to have you all with us for this episode of The Sound of Economics. If you log on to our website at www.bruegel.org, you'll find plenty more of Bruegel's work, including blogs and papers written by our scholars. And indeed, many past episodes of this podcast. I hope you'll join us again soon for The Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye-bye.